Deborah Gordon and Roseanne Ariel interviewing Sue Elkin for the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project, Pittsburgh section. Would you like to state your name?
Sue Elkin.
Thank you. It's May 8th, 1990.
It's the 8th.
And, well, Sue, last week before we concluded, you had mentioned that you had wanted to speak a little bit about your father and his contributions to the Jewish Community Center and the community at large. Have you thought about things that you'd like to mention?
I am not 100% clear on how this started, but there had been a boys' club in Shadyside, which my dad was familiar with. And he felt a great need in Squirrel Hill for something like that, for young kids to have a place to meet. And he told these feelings to Ziggy Kahn. The end result of that was the first Jewish Community Center in the city, in Squirrel Hill, which was on Forward Avenue near the bowling alleys.
What was his involvement? Your father's involvement?
He was a sponsor of this.
You mean monetarily, or I don't know what you mean
you.
By sponsor.
Bless you. He started it. It was his baby. This was his idea. And how he sponsored it, whether monetarily or not, I cannot, in all honesty, say I don't know, except that my husband told me he was a sponsor. He really sponsored this thing.
So it was called the Jewish Community Center Squirrel Hill versus the one
then
in the
it was IKC.
Mm-hmm. Was that different than the one in the hill, or is that the same, or just another branch? Or
it was another branch. Uh-huh. It was a branch of the Irene Kaufman Center. I don't know whether Hill House was in existence then, or it was still the Irene Kaufman
mm-hmm.
Center down in the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that it was still the center on the in the hill district. But this was the first one, and I don't know how many years it was in existence before they bought an old house on Forward Avenue, on Forbes Street,
mm-hmm.
and from that old house, which they tore down, evolved the new.
So you're saying it went from the hill down to Forward Avenue, and then.
No, it didn't go. This was the Squirrel Hill.
Oh, the Squirrel Hill branch.
Yeah.
Okay.
People were moving down this way.
Because remember. When the center opened on Forbes, there was already
mm-hmm.
a branch also in East End.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And part in Oakland, too.
Well,
that was
the Y.
Uh-huh.
Right,
that was still the Y. It was not the YIKC then.
Mm-hmm. So what year?
It became the YIKC around sometime between 58 and 60, I think.
What year are you? What years are you talking about? The one on Forward that he was a co-sponsor.
Forward.
Approximately.
Well, that if it hadn't been for my dad, I really don't. I'm sure there would have been a center. It would not have happened that soon.
Mm-hmm.
In the 40s. Well, don't pin me down to where.
No, I don't.
Jimmy was born in 1942, and when Jimmy was about 5 years old, he went to the center. so. It had to be in the 40s, because he went down to the Forward Avenue Center.
Was he a good friend with Ziggy Kahn?
He knew him. Yeah, he knew him well.
Was your family involved in the other aspects of the Jewish community besides the community center? Was there a federation then? And
I'm sure there was federation then. I don't know. I became involved in 58 after my dad died.
How are you involved?
My husband, incidentally, was the president of the center when the new building opened. Not this, the one before this.
Mm-hmm. The original. Yeah, the one that wasn't too old when they tore that one.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When was that?
Sometime between 58 and 60.
Uh-huh. So you were involved in that?
Well, I got involved because I knew B. Miller, who was the professional worker in charge of the senior citizens. Mm-hmm. And I approached B. with the idea of having a showing of my dad's paintings. He was to have been given a one-man showing at the Pittsburgh Playhouse for a month, which was something that was done then, and that was run by Betsy Bramer, who was quite a...
For the Pittsburgh Play for Arts? No, the Pittsburgh...
The Pittsburgh Playhouse. The
Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Yeah. And they had, every month, they would display an artist, single artist. And I had spoken to her, and she asked me to show her take her some canvases of my dad's, which I did. And she set up a one-man show for him for the month of August in 58. However, my dad called that off because mother had just died shortly before that, and he just did not want to get involved in that at the time. She wanted it postponed and not just called off altogether. But Dad said just call it off, fortunately, because he died shortly after. B and I decided that there would be two rooms of my dad's work on display at the center, plus an all-city senior citizen art exhibit, which is just what we held. And we had well-known artists judge the work. Most of it was really pretty good. And that was how I got involved with the center, with the senior citizen program.
Did you stay involved with it?
Yeah, for about 5 years. I did as much work or more than B did, because I didn't take time for vacations.
No.
And you worked with the seniors?
When she was gone, I did all her statistics. I did all of her work. I took care of public relations. I made sure that there were constant stories in the newspaper, and boy, we really had spreads of stories. And I got speakers for their weekly meeting, and if you think getting a speaker for 52 weeks of the year is easy,
it is hard.
And I mean good speakers, it isn't easy. But I contacted, one of the first things I did was call and speak to each member of the Senior Citizen Social Club, which was the extent of the activities other than the weekly luncheon. And I found out through these calls what they would like by way of programming. And I ended up with a 5-day a week ongoing program.
Was this a volunteer basis or was this paid?
Volunteer basis.
Wow.
Yeah.
She did a 5-day a week program for the seniors.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we had someone teaching a course on American Jewish history. There was someone else doing current events. You should excuse me, I was leading a course in creative traumatics, as I called it. And they did skits.
Yeah, they did.
They gave skits, and they were really very, mm-hmm. very good. And the other thing I did was public speaking, in the sense that I was introducing all the speakers at the luncheon meetings, and I decided I'll be damned if I was going to keep on doing that. It was a hardship for me, and sometimes I would be mortified at some of the things that took place there. Remind me to tell you one incident after. And it was their program. Introduce your own speakers. It took a while to convince them, but I said, we will have a class. You will write your speech. I will help you with it if there, you know, if it needs any editing. And you will get up and introduce the speaker using your own words. And that's what happened.
You started the 5-day program at
mm-hmm.
your center,
yeah.
and it's remained there ever since.
Yeah. There were those diehards who would not walk out of the card room.
Mm-hmm. Right, but in general, you
in general, it was terrific.
So when did this start? When did this organize? Right after the building was built?
Yeah. In 58.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the idea?
It started right after I had. I would have to say it was 59. I'm sorry, because Dad died in 58 in the winter, and we didn't really get things moving until the winter of 59.
Were other Jewish centers doing that at the time?
I have no idea.
And what made you stop?
That is something I'll tell you off the record later.
Okay. So you stopped after
politics and bureaucracy.
Oh, we know that.
Not this. This was terrible.
Well, you stopped after 5 years, is that
mm-hmm.
what it is? And then what did you go on to do?
I was asked to head up a foster home program for disturbed children at Craig House Technoma.
I'm not familiar with that.
Craig House Technoma is, at this point in time, it wasn't then, but right now it is a day hospital and school for emotionally disturbed children.
Mm-hmm.
The history of Craig House is that it was organized by Dr. Edward Carroll, a psychiatrist and psychoanalyst who was at the university and at Western Psych.
What's his name? Dr.
Edward Carroll. He was of the belief that if you find pathology in a parent, you're going to find it in, or if you find it in a child, you're going to find it in the family. This was revolutionary and created quite a bit of stir, but he opened up Craig House for Children, which was located on Craig Street in Oakland. Unfortunately, Dr. Carroll was much too revolutionary for Pitt and more or less was asked to either change his ways of thinking or leave. He chose to leave and he settled in Florida. Craig House went on, and then they merged with Technoma, which was a school for exceptional children at Polizetic Synagogue. Hence, Craig House Technoma.
And what were you doing there?
I was asked to get a foster home placement program going. It was originally supposed to be just for teenagers, but it ended up taking in all age groups. And in order to start that, of course, we had to have a lot of publicity, which I set up, and you know, a lot of TV spots, a lot of interviews on television, newspaper stories, and this was as an adjunct to therapy where a kid didn't seem to be really responding too well in the home environment, regardless of the therapy he was receiving. They were of the opinion, and this was really a trailblazing kind of thing, that possibly placing the child in another home and letting that child see that one home really isn't any different than another when it comes to raising a family. Then it also gave the parents a breather as well as a chance to see things more objectively.
Now, was this Jewish?
No.
Because you said it was at Polytechnic.
No.
It merged.
They may have taken only Jewish children of Polytechnic. I really don't know. But it did merge. Dr. Muldoon was then the director of Craig House Technoma. Now it is Richard Kirshner who is the director, and it is a tremendous operation. They are now situated at, hear this, Connections. They bought the old IKC on at Stanton and Negley. The old IKC building in East Liberty, which was a practically new building.
And that's where they are now?
And that's where Craig House Technoma is situated.
And how long were you there?
About 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had to quit because of that.
Now, you, all this time that you were working and involved with us, you have one daughter?
And a son.
And a son.
Mm-hmm.
And where were they? They were older at this point? They were...
Well, when I was at Craig House, yes, they were both away.
They were already out of the house.
Yeah. At the center, I was at the center until I knew they got home from school. I was always home before they got home. That was a must. I cooked for the week on Sundays, but I had to be home when they got home. That was an absolute... Yeah, Debbie.
How'd you get involved in the foster care home program?
They called me.
Oh, they just called you? You didn't know you had been working
well,
at the
I knew them. I don't know how I knew them, but they had... Oh, thanks. When they all walk on them. They had seen a lot of the publicity that I had done for the center.
How was it? Was it unusual to be a working mother at that point?
That was volunteer, too.
Well, it sounds like they were almost full-time jobs.
They were. As they called me at Craig House, I was an unpaid worker.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, they never referred to me as a volunteer. Had I really wanted to get paid, I could have, but it wasn't important.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed being there. I enjoyed doing what I did.
And your husband, what did he do? I don't think I got that last week. I don't know.
He's in the real estate business.
Oh, he's in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
No, I keep looking at your father's art, and I'm amazed at the technique.
His technique was much looser the last year of his life.
Mm-hmm. But I mean the skill, the control of the oil.
That's from being a lithographer.
That's right.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. How prolific was he? How much art did he do?
You said that there were going to be two rooms of his paintings. Did he have a lot of art?
He had a lot, yeah.
So where's all that art now?
If I told you, you would not believe it. Carol has some. My sister had some. If her will ever gets probated, I will get it back. And the rest I curbed when we moved. I know, it hurt like hell. It was one of the most painful things I had to do. But how much can Carol handle?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we die, she'll get all this stuff too. How much can she handle?
Right. Well, it's interesting to note that he started that career when he was already a little bit older.
75 years old.
And
he entered the university at the age of 75 to take courses there.
Do you see any correlation between him beginning that, like, career in the arts and your career in the poetry and the arts?
No, I don't.
And your daughter's singing? I was talking to her about that.
So after you were working at Craig House, I'm going to use the term you were working at Craig House, you stopped. Is that when you became interested in poetry?
No, that was a little later.
So you took a breather in between the two.
You can call it a breather. I was very sick.
And then what started the interest in poetry? Exactly. What triggered it?
Just ideas, feelings that would come to mind that I would put down on paper.
And this was while you were ill?
No, that was after...
I'm just trying to get the
chronology. Well, chronologically, let's say I quit Craig House in 1970. Or I may have done a little bit of work from home after that for them. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of work at home for Dr. Carroll. And in between, after that too, I taped for the blind. For Ladies Hospital Aid.
Uh-huh. You taped?
You read?
I read for blind students.
Right. Yeah. How'd you get involved in that?
I don't know. I really, well, I was working for Dr. Carroll on a project having to do with family therapy. And a lot of it involved transcribing tapes of sessions and interviews with various doctors and families. And I thought I have the tape recorder, why not see if I can, you know, do something of some, I wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I did tape for not, I don't know how long, but it got to the point where I could see that the fatigue that I would feel, because I have a lung problem, was coming through on the tapes, and I thought I ought to quit. It just was getting to be hard. But I did many tapes.
So you had done some poetry, just like you said, writing down.
And that was right after that. Actually, it was 1977 when I started to write.
Anything special that happened that year that started it?
No.
Where was your work first published?
DeKalb Literary Arts Journal. That was a magazine put out by DeKalb College in Georgia.
When was that? After?
In 78.
That must have been pretty exciting. The first work published.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm going to stop this tape and we're going to flip it over and pick up so we don't run out of time if we start to talk about something good.